الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمة الله يا أرحم الراحمين. Allah has blessed us. We're just coming out of such a Mubarak month, the month of Ramadan. Shawwal means the remainder of the milk in the udder, the remainder of the water in the container. What it means is to take the blessings of Ramadan, not to leave it. That's why every one of us have to do an analysis on our own. Where were we before Ramadan? And what is our state now after Ramadan? If before Ramadan we were 5 out of 10, for example, in Ramadan, alhamdulillah, we reached 8 and 9. The environment, the tilawat of the Quran, the dhikrullah, trying to keep our cool, being in the masjid on time, our sunan, our nawafil, our taraweeh, tahajjud, fasting. Khair, okay. After Ramadan, the best is to continue at that same level, 8 and 9. But if we fall, we shouldn't go back to 5. At least, get better than how we were. Because Ramadan is a stepping stone to change. Few events that happened historically in the month of Shawwal. One is a very famous expedition called Uhud. Uhud happened just after Ramadan, Shawwal. So I want to mention, to recap what we were discussing earlier. Remember that Sahabi, Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he's coming to stop Hazrat Mus'ab. Hazrat Mus'ab is sitting conducting the halaqah in Medina. Now while he's teaching the people of Medina, the Muslims were sitting to learn. Many non-Muslims joined also, curious to know. Now Sa'd, who was the chief of that area, got very upset. And he comes to the gathering to chase Hazrat Mus'ab away. So As'ad radiallahu anhu whispers in the ears of Mus'ab that the man approaching is a very influential man. Speak to him sincerely. أخلص الله فيه وأحسن التأتي له. Your approach should be very tactful because you're speaking to a prominent man. And with ikhlas, win him over, O Mus'ab. Why? Look at how Sahaba looked at it. This one man got many behind him. A believer is a businessman for akhir. Not just, oh, this property here will do well. I'll put an entire block of flats. It'll go like pancakes. Or, you know, that mustn't be our only worry. Oh, this item, this commodity. How can every customer come in, but they must see the beauty of Islam? How can every client leave here motivated about preparing for the afterlife? One businessman told me he was in a meeting with some clients in one of the overseas countries, like Dubai. And they were doing this presentation on properties and on blocks of flats. Then he says to them, but you know, there's another property for sale. The returns are enormous. The deal is such, the returns are guaranteed. No need for payments and fines and fees for maintenance. And he started describing the palaces of paradise. And in the meeting were many Hindus. She's asking them, you know how to get this one? Because it doesn't make sense to them. This is paradise. And the price of this one is to worship one God, one Allah. And God has no partner whatsoever. And then he says to them, how long are we going to worry what everyone has to say? When we die, we're going to enter the grave alone. We have to face him. And then he says to them, the second thing is to accept Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the final Nabi of Allah. And then he explains also, not to harm any of God's creation. Because in Islam, there is huququllah, the rights of Allah, and huququl ibad. So Sahaba were worshipping, were working on an idolatrous community. Sa'ad bin Mu'adh and all of these senior people in Medina were idolaters. radiallahu anhu. This was prior to the Islam. So he comes into the cavity and he reprimands Hazrat Mus'ab radiallahu anhu. How dare you people come to my area? Who gave you all the permission to come here? What do you all want here? Misleading our people. Get away from us. If you have the need to love, in kanat lakuma binafsaykuma min haja, because he's reprimanding his connection there. His connection was As'ad bin Zurarah. If you have the need, you want to live any longer, get out. Otherwise, I'll end your life there and then. Look at Hazrat Mus'ab. He stayed calm. That's the key. Remember, life and death is in the hands of Allah. Imagine there's a hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Oh Allah's Nabi, they're attacking me. What do I do?" Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "If people want to attack you, tell them about Allah." Who would think at that moment to tell them about Allah? My brothers were telling me how beautiful those people who took them. Then they're asking them, "We want to make salah." That man said, "Come, I'll make salah with you." So even the kidnapper got a heart. You can win him over. Here this man wants to attack the sahaba. That I will kill you if you'll carry on with this dawah in our area. Hazrat Mus'ab remained calm. Allah reward the youngsters. They remained calm. They still wanted to make their salah because that's how we'll win the help of Allah. You make the salah. And then after that you make dua. In the language, the non-Muslim understands that, "Oh Allah, everything is in your hands. Oh Allah, nothing happens without you. Oh Allah, bless us. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, guide our brothers. Guide everyone. Make it easy for everyone in the world. Whoever is suffering ailments, hurdles, worries, troubles, debts, problems, difficulties, challenges. Ya Allah, you make it easy for them." They'll also learn how to talk about Allah. I'll never forget Haji Abdul Wahab Sahab, rahmatullah alayh. He was giving this Kar Guzari in Raiwin. We heard this about 25 years ago. He was saying that this one actor, TV star, he changed his life. He went out in the path of Allah. And one beautiful thing you learn in the Jamaat is to talk about Allah. You want to talk about Allah. You want to tell everybody about Allah. You know? And you learn the 6 points. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. They barged into his home to usurp his commodities. And you know, they're holding him at gunpoint. And he doesn't know what to do. He's downstairs. His little daughter is upstairs. She also comes down. And they're holding the gun at the father. This child masum child, in her innocence, she's telling her father, "They're threatening, give us the valuable, otherwise we'll show you, and we'll do this, and we'll do that." So the little child is saying, "Father, Abba, you know that 6 points you was telling us? Tell them about that 6 points." So that Daku is wondering, what is this child talking about? So he's asking the father, "What your child is talking about? 6 points, chain number. What is this chain number ki baat?" So the father is saying, "No, that's what I went out to reform myself. I went out in the path of Allah. So I came back and I was teaching my children, my family. So my child is telling me to tell you all the 6 points. But where you all want to know the 6 points?" So he's saying, no, we want to know. The gang, the thieves want to know. The hijackers want to know. So he say, "Okay, sit down, I'll tell you." So they're sitting, he sits down, he called his wife down, put that child with it. Tabligh, you learn that also. Ikram is very, very important. That's the accolade of a Muslim, make ikram. She's making the tea there, he's giving the 6 points he learned in the path of Allah. At the end of that discussion, that whole leader of that gang and his whole team said, "Hey, you know, what your child told you to tell us, we need that. We also want to go in the path of Allah. Can we also go? Will you take us? Please forgive us. We make tawbah. We'll never do this again." What a beautiful thing. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, "What do we do?" Abul Mukhariq, under Usdul Ghaba, the life of Abul Mukhariq, the Sahabi asks Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam this question. "What do we do when a man attacks me?" Allah's Nabi said, "Dhakkirhu, billah. Remind him who is the maker, who is the doer. Allah is in control. So in this, Hazrat Mus'ab politely says to Sa'd, Sa'd, you want us to leave, we'll leave. But look how he addresses him, Ya Sayyida Qumi, respected leader. In Isma' Minna, in Radita Amran Qabiltahu, Wa Illam Tardahu, Tahawwalna Anka Ila Ghayrik, respected elder, you're the senior of your community, I don't know to tell you what to do. But I have one request, hear us out, brother. If you hear us out, then you can decide. If you like it, you join. If not, we carry on with our da'wah elsewhere. Interesting about Sahaba. He didn't say we'll stop. Da'wah never stops. Till our dying breath, we have to be inviting to Allah. It's the greatest honor if Allah takes our lives while we're giving da'wah. It's not when you hear about that, don't say shame. Say, what an honor. Today a man dies in Allah's way, we say shame. For Sahaba, the man who died at home, they used to say, shame, they really felt sorry for him. The whole tables have turned. What an honor to die while calling to Allah. So the Sahabi says, we'll carry on to the next area. Sa'd said, no, what you're saying is fair. Let me hear it out. He says, a few minutes in that environment had such an impact on him. He says, what do I do to become like you? The Jummah time, we completed the first part of the story. That was Hazrat Usaid. This is the big chief now. Sa'd bin Mu'adh, radiallahu anhu. He embraces Islam by sitting in the gathering. He wasn't a selfish person. How many years we are Muslim? How many years we in South Africa? Have we done the calculation? We're not even 3%. And we're 350 years here. Who's going to invite the people? Who's going to tell them who Allah is? Who Rasulullah, who Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. Whose duty is it to tell them? The Afrikaners, the Zulus, the Sutus, the Khoisans, the Fundamervas, the Shak, whoever it is, who's going to tell them? They will say, Allah, these Muslims never told me. In that, Sa'd is sitting in the gathering and his heart is yearning. He says to them, let me go. I got a very big task. What are you going to do? I want to talk to my community. He gathers his entire area. He was the chief. A couple of hundred of them gathered. And he's talking to them. He says to them, who am I to you? They say, you are our leader. Sa'd, this, that, that. He says, I want you all to listen to me. Islam is the truth. They said, sir, if you say it, we believe it. We learn from Sahaba, if Allah gave you respect, that Fundamarifa who's on your site, that client who's dealing with you, he knows you putting down the millions to buy that property. Don't end the deal without inviting to Islam. Hazrat Sa'd invited them all to Islam. Every last one of them, couple of hundred, embraced Islam one go. The first was his mother, Hazrat Kabsha, Kabsha radiallahu anha. And her, also relative, her name was Hawa bint Yazid ibn Sakan radiallahu anha. She also embraced Islam. When her husband heard his wife embraced Islam, he got so upset. She kept on maintaining her deen. Then he comes home, she's making salah. Allah, Allah, Allah. He picked up and threw her. Few months later was Hajj. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa went to meet her husband. His name was Qais bin Khatib. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa invited him to Islam. He said, no, I'm not interested. He said, okay then, if you don't know to embrace Islam, I can't force you. But your wife is our sister. You don't harm her. Allah's Nabi knew from Allah. He went home. His family are telling him, you know, your wife is practicing deen and talking Islam, this, that. Won't you put a stop to it? He said, no. I promised him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I'll never harm her. So Allah gave her hidayat. Hazrat Hawa bint Yazid, Hazrat Kabsha, Hazrat Asma bint Yazid, all these great sahabiyat, radiallahu anhun. Then the incident I want to share with you that happened in this month was Uhud. The chapter of the Quran detailing this event, who can tell me? First chapter in the Quran is Al-Fatiha. Number two is Al-Baqarah. Last time we discussed Al-Baqarah with you in this community. The third chapter, Al-Imran. The second half of Al-Imran is detailing Uhud. It's Quran's commentary on Uhud. And thereafter is Quran's commentary on Hamra'ul Asad. Hamra'ul Asad. Hamra'ul Asad happened just after Uhud. We'll mention it to you just now. But what about the first half of the chapter? The first half of the chapter is describing and discussing the method of da'wah to Christians. Why? Maulana Muhammad, you know why? Because our beloved, this is my friend, he came from Ethiopia, Alhamdulillah. The first country Islam reached after Medina Munawwara. A lady from Ethiopia cared for our beloved. And our beloved used to say, she's my mother after my mother. She spent more time with our beloved than any human in history. Hazrat Baraka Ummu Ayman. What a great sahabiya. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote this letter to this Christian kingdom called Najran. The letter is available. And he started the letter. In the name of Allah, the Lord of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Lord of Ishaq alayhi salam. Who's the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Who's the eldest son of Ibrahim alayhi salam?
Ismail
alayhi salam. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote the Lord of Ishaq alayhi salam, the Lord of Yaqub alayhi salam. Bismi ilahi Ibrahim wa Ishaq wa Yaqub. And he invited them to Islam. But why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, in the Lord, in the name of the Lord of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Lord of Ismail alayhi salam? So not long ago, Allah gave me tawfiq, I was on a flight. So the man next to me was a Jewish doctor. So I greeted him. Good morning, sir. My name is Muhammad. What's your name? Why I'm sharing this with you? Because many of you are, what's the word? Entrepreneur. Am I pronouncing it correctly? Entrepreneur. So you travel for business, travel for recreation, whatever it is. Have the intention of da'wah with you. So see how easy it is. I greeted him, sir. What's your name? Dr. Yusuf. So I say, that's interesting. Is that Joseph in English? He says, yes. Yusuf in Hebrew? So I tell him, that's Yusuf in Arabic. He says, no, I've heard that. So in that we're discussing this and that. So I'm telling him, do you know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, that tell me about the noblest of people. And they said, oh Allah's Nabi, you tell us. The beloved of Allah said, the noblest of people is Joseph, Yusuf alayhi salam, the son of Yaqub alayhi salam, who's the son of Ishaq alayhi salam, who's the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So I'm telling him, isn't it amazing, astonishing, that the messenger of God, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, acknowledges the lineage of Isaac? He says, no, it is astonishing. The first time he's hearing that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that. But how they'll learn or know if you and I are not going to tell them? We just want to sign the deal, do the deal, buy the property, do this, do that. The dawah part, Allah knows if it crossed our mind, who was supposed to tell them? Not long ago, I was traveling in one of the towns. One individual I spoke to there, that become Muslim, this, that. This person is telling me thereafter, how can I even consider when people I work for speak with such vulgarity? How can such people love God? I just can't understand it. Some of us with our akhlaq, we chase people away. They say, I can't believe such people can love Allah, can love God. Are we those people who through our akhlaq and our dirty tongues, people will run away from Islam? So in this, as I'm discussing with this doctor, so I'm telling him, but then sir, when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam acknowledged the lineage of Isaac, shouldn't we also acknowledge Ismail's lineage? Because he's also mentioned in the Bible. He said, what do you mean? So I'm telling him, Genesis 17:20. Genesis is the first surah, the first chapter in the Bible. Genesis 17:20, the Lord says to Abraham that I will make Ismail a great nation who will bear the fruit of God. And he will bear 12 princes. So I'm explaining to him this verse. And then Genesis 17:20, and then Genesis 21:17 onward, where the Lord says to Hajar that I will bless your son, like Ismail, like Isaac is your seed. Ismail is also your seed. And he is the rejected one, but Allah will bless his progeny. Because they rejected Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. So they still up to now, they don't want to accept Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. But the book clearly says, Hazrat Ismail is also great. And his progeny will bear the fruit and the kingdom of God. So I'm showing him these verses in the Bible. And another very interesting one is Isaiah 42. And then Isaiah 24. Because in that he's introducing his sons to me. His one son's name was Isaiah. So I'm telling him, that's the chapter in the Bible. He says, yes. I'm saying, sir, Isaiah 42. The Lord says to his messenger, Isaiah, Ash'iya in Arabic. Comes in Dalail al-Khirat, his name also. But in Tafsir ibn Kathir, in Surah al-Ahzab, under the ayah, Inna ya ayyuha al-Nabiyyu, Inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi'idhnihi wa sirajan munira. Under this ayah, Allama ibn Kathir brings an amazing report about Hazrat Shaya. If you read the Arabic here and you read that biblical chapter 42, it's the same. The only difference is here, in the biblical version, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's name has been removed. But it comes, Ya Ash'iya, Qum fi qawmika bani Israel. Tell your people, I will make you speak. I will take out the words from your mouth. And tell them about the final Nabi of Allah. Aba'athu ummiyam min al-ummiyin. I will send him. He will be unlettered. And he will go even to the Gentiles. He will not speak of his own accord. He will walk with humility. He will pass a lamp and it won't switch off. He will place his feet on bamboo and it won't crackle from beneath his feet. And it carries on and carries on. Then it comes. He will come from Qaidar. So I'm asking him, sir, do you know Qaidar? And this Jewish doctor says, no, I don't know who's Qaidar. I'm telling him, that is the second son of Ismail. And the final messenger is from the offspring of Qaidar. See, I tell you, that Jewish doctor was shocked. Afterwards, his son. This Genesis, and I read the names of the sons of Ismail, and you're right, Qaidar is there. But if you look into all, you look into their books, you'll find reference to Badr, references to Fath Makkah, such explicit verses, Allah bring them to the truth. Anyway, they don't know, and you and I have to tell them, just to converse with them. Talk to them in a simple way. Here in Uhud, subhanallah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mashura with Sahaba because the mushrikeen were coming to fight. So he's consulting with Sahaba, do we leave Medina or do we fight in Medina Munawwara? That was the mashura. What we learn from there is the etiquettes of mashura. What a beautiful thing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the opinions of Sahaba. The youth were quite adamant. They wanted to come out of Medina Munawwara. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed decision that we will come out of Medina Munawwara. Now there was one man, his name was Abdullah bin Ubay. He was a hypocrite. He was very upset. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't take his opinion. Now this is not a good thing. In Mashura, we should give our opinion. But whatever decision that is finalized, we should happily accept that and not split the ummah. But what? Bin Ubay did, he got very upset. So he joined the Sahaba as they're leaving Medina Munawwara. But as the Muslims were camped and the Mushrikeen were camped at hindsight of each other, that was when Ubay, bin Ubay took a large section of his men and he ran away from the battlefield. So Sahaba are telling him, why are you doing this? He says, no, he didn't take my opinion. He was very upset. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't take his opinion. So he wanted to internally demoralize the Muslims. He wanted to crumble the Muslims from within. But in that, something else very interesting happened, very strange. A man stood up from the Meccan side. His name was Abu Amir. Abu Amir. He was the father of a very famous Sahabi. Have you heard of a Sahabi? He just got married. And he was with his wife. He made it for Fajr. After Fajr, he said, oh Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you're not going for the expedition. I'm going with you. But I see you're not leaving now. Can I go home? And when you're leaving, I'll join you. I just got married. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes. I understand. You just got married. You go home. We'll call and you'll hear the announcement when we're leaving. So he goes home. And now he's with his wife. He was right with her. And you know what I mean? And in that, the announcement is made. Finishing off very quickly, not realizing, he didn't make ghusl. And he joined the expedition. Who can tell me the Sahabi? Who said that? Correct, you said. Hazrat Hamdala. Hamdala. What a sincere Sahabi. His wife was Jamila. Hamdala's father was Abu Amir. He was on the side of the Mushrikeen. Jamila, her father was Bin Ubay, who tried to split the Ummah. But she was such a sincere Sahabiya. She saw a dream that her husband is going to pass away. So she wanted to be with him. So they asked her, but why you wanted to be with him if you knew he's going to pass away? You know what answer she gave? I wanted to bear the child of a shaheed. That's why I wanted to be with him. That child born from there, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam grew him up. The son of Handala, his name was Abdullah. So Handala went in the path of Allah. He became shaheed. But his father joined the Mushrikeen. Now his father's title in Medina, he was from Medina. But if he's from Medina, why was he with the Meccans? Because he was a scholar who studied the Bible from the Jews. Because I told you the last time, the Jews were living in Medina. One of the main reasons they were living in Medina, because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is described in their books, and his city is described in their books. They were awaiting his arrival. But jealousy and racism and hatred for the offspring of Ismail alayhi salam hindered them from accepting the truth. That's why in a chapter called Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, that's the New Testament, the first chapter in the New Testament, Matthew, 21:42, Jesus said that the cornerstone, the main brick in the building, that main brick, الْحَجَرُ الَّذِي رَفَضَهُ الْبَنَّاءُونَ, the builders rejected that main brick. That will become the main structure of the building of the kingdom of God. So Isa al-Islam is telling them about this main cornerstone. And then he said to them, but you, O Israelites, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you because of your disregard of God. And it will be given to a nation that will bear the fruit. Matthew 21, 42, 43, 44, 45, till the end of the chapter. That verse is speaking about substitution, that the Israelites are fired in their book. They told that they fired because they killed the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, and they disrespected Allah's decision. They know about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's arrival. That's why Jesus, Isa alayhi wasalam, is telling them, the brick that was rejected becomes the main brick. And who's that brick that's rejected? Sahih Bukhari, hadith number 3535. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, do you know the building of deen of Anbiya alayhi wasalam? There was one main brick left. And I am that brick. In the hadith, that main brick that Allah accepted to culminate the construction Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that main brick. That the building is incomplete without that main cornerstone structure. Wa ana tilka labina. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am the good news Christ gave. Ana bushra Isa. Musnad al-Imam Ahmad. Ana bushra Isa. Ana dawatu Abi Ibrahim. I am the fulfillment of my father's prayer, Abraham. He prayed for me. And I am the good news Christ gave. Isa alayhi salam gave the good news about me. Abu Amir knew this. So he traveled, he learned from the Jews in Medina. Then he went to Syria, he went here, he went there. He's telling the people of Medina, you know, I know the truth. They asked him, what is the truth? He said, Hanifiyya. The truth, the faith that is where you turn to Allah directly and you don't avert into any other idolatry, form of idolatry. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent, Abu Amir knew the incidents in the Bible describing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There were those Jews who were good people. They embraced Islam. You can find a list of up to more than 40 of them. Hayat al-Sahaba has a beautiful report of some Arab tribe coming to the Jews. And one Jew called them. And he told them, the man you all met, is this his description? Said, yeah, this is the one we met. He came to us. We went for Hajj. He came to us. And he invited us to Islam. That Jewish rabbi said, you all should have accepted him. Why didn't you all accept him? He is the truth. That report in Hayat al-Sahaba volume 1 says, that same Jew, Sumi'a inda mawtihi yatashahad. On his dying bed, Allah gave him tawfiq to read kalima. Like Hazrat Marana Qasim Nanotwi sahab, rahmatullah alayh. Qari Tayyib sahab, rahmatullah alayh. Had some friendship with one Hindu, you know. And he used to always tell him, read kalima, read kalima. That man said, no, never, man, you know, I love you all. You all are the people I love, but I won't read the kalima. That man passed away. Qari Tayyib sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, saw him in a dream. He's in Jannah. Bhai, kya hua? You in our jagah, our place. He said, no, Hazrat, I was sick. I knew I'm going to be breathing my last. And I thought to myself, that Molviji told me how many times the truth. How can I reject? And I know the man is on truth. So I read the kalima. That's how I am here. So Allah gives good people that tawfiq. There's many good people out there, brother. It's you. There's no Nabi. No other Nabi to come by. Brother, elder, sheikh, senior, I beg you. There's no Nabi to come. You have to tell him. You have to convince him. You have to explain to him. The same Abu Amir. He knew the truth. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent. He didn't come and meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah's beloved went to him in Medina. Abu Amir, I've been waiting for you. He says, no, you're not the one. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, but you didn't even come and see. Didn't that scholar in Syria and that one in this country and in that country told you about me? He described me. You could see Abu Amir was burning in hatred. See, that dirty heart is a very dangerous thing. He says, no, you're not the one. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, let me explain to you what I'm upon. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to him. Then he said, what is the crux of your faith? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Hanifiyya. The same thing he used to say. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi knew from Allah that he has been sent with Hanifiyya, the true faith where you turn directly to the Creator and that natural, pure inclination to the truth. He couldn't take it. He said, no. And when a man knows the truth and still can't bear it, that's why Allah says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Ya Allah, save us from the path of those who have earned thy wrath. That's why that comes in Fatiha. After Fatiha is Baqarah. Baqarah describes Yahud because they knew the truth. And they still didn't accept it. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who's lying from us, Abu Amir, may Allah give him such a death that is disgraceful, that is lonely, and that is far off in the wilderness, in awareness. He tried his nonsense in Uhud. He gets up. says to the Meccans, you'll see my people, the people of Medina, they respect me. Before the Battle of Uhud, he stands up. Tried to cause fitna. He says, oh people of Medina, you know me. They used to call him Rabbi, Rahib. The Sahaba from Medina get up. They knew him. They respected him because of the knowledge he had before. But he didn't implement it and he rejected the truth. So Sahaba says to him, O Abu Amir, La an'ama Allahu bika aynan ya fasiq. You are a sight to sore eyes, O despicable, sinful, open sinner. But you defy the truth. We don't want to see you. You're a sight to for sore eyes. He couldn't believe it. Allah gave him such a depression. He ran away to Medina. He ran away to Makkah. And from there he ran away to Syria. And he died a lingering, disgraceful death. Hidayat is not in our hands. Hidayat is in Allah's hands. Anyway, then Uhud. But what was interesting was the letter. I was telling you about the letter Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent to the kingdom of Christians. When they received Rasulullah's letter. See, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's consideration. He knew they loved this lineage. So he told them about that lineage. And they received Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's letter. The senior king there called his senior priest. What do you say? He says, this is the letter of the one prophesied in our books. Genesis and all our books. They prepared a large delegation from the elite and some of their masses. And they journeyed to Medina. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam welcomed them, invited them to Islam. So the Ali Imran first half teaches how to talk to them, how to invite the Christians. Moving to the other part of our discussion, I wanted to tell you a few more things that happened in Shawwal. One was, there's a link to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Hazrat Ummu Salama got married in Shawwal. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wedded her. Her name was Hind. Hind bint Abi Umayyah radiallahu anha, Ummu Salama. Another famous expedition in Shawwal was Khandaq. Khandaq in Shawwal. Islam entered Spain in Shawwal, 92 Hijri, Shawwal. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, passed away, 197 Shawwal. And a great Sahabi who took Islam to countries of the world. One Sahabi converted the whole of Oman. He conquered Palestine. He took Islam into Egypt. And then his cousin he sent further into North Africa, Uqba bin Nafi'. Who was the Sahabi? He passed away in Shawwal, Amr ibn al-As, 47 Hijri, Shawwal. But obviously we can't discuss all of that. What I want to share with you, you see, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he is coming back. Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, Quran Sharif clearly mentions that. Beautiful. Hazrat Marana's kitab, you're beautiful. You must see this. You might be having this kitab in your home and Marana Sahib will explain this to you. Hadith number 1806. The hadith of Hazrat Nawas bin Sam'an, preferably Sim'an radiallahu anhu. A lengthy hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that hadith, I'll mention that hadith to you just now. So this is my last part of my discussion. We're going to that I mentioned to you earlier. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, before Judgment Day, examples of Jannah will be available in the world. Before you wanted something, it would take much longer. Now, instant. Everything is instant. Instant coffee. Instant booking. You want something, you order it very soon. They're coming to drop it off. A meal that takes so long, arranged so instantly. And also, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said before Judgment Day, people won't make salam to each other unless they have some knowledge or know-how of each other. If they know each other, if they are acquaintances, otherwise they won't just greet Muslims. Imagine that's a sign of Qiyamah. Muslims just walk past and don't make salam. La yusallam illa lil ma'rifa. These are prophecies. People will see each other, they won't make salam. What that means? We must make salam to everyone, to every Muslim. Must we wait for people to make salam or should we make salam first? We should make salam first. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, before Judgment Day, food will become so common that obesity will become a very common, call it action or disease. وَتَظْهَرْ أَسِّمَنْ Butter, obesity will just become common. Just food. Food will become the main worry. It's not prohibiting it. But the hadith is actually prophesying that this will happen before Judgment Day. Before Judgment Day, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a man will come to the masjid, O my Sahaba, with a different conveyance. He'll sit on his conveyance that is large and he'll park it by the masjid. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is describing, it seems to be the vehicle to the Sahaba. So they're riding their camels and their donkeys and their horses. Khayl, khayl is the horse. It was the best conveyance. And Arabic is so interesting. Khayl was like the Rolls Royce, like the top class. And it comes from the word khayl. Khayl means imagination, khayal. When one drives the best, there's an imagery about a person's self. That mehu, I am the meno. This hadith says he'll come with his conveyance and park it right by the door of the masjid. But his wife and his daughters will be wearing clothes, but they'll be naked. They won't worry about pardagi and chastity and covering themselves. The hadith is telling us this, that a man will pray. He thinks he did his duty. He won't worry that deen must come in my daughters. That halaqa of ta'aleem must come at home. He'll see his little girl and she'll come out of the home with tights. He won't say, my child, you can't do this. We are Muslims. We are Muslims, my child, you can't do this. Allah knows, Allah help us guide our wives, right? But sometimes, you know, if your wife doesn't listen to you, you have to try. Do the halaqa of ta'aleem. Ask her, did you attend the program? Did you attend the weekly ta'aleem? But at least your daughters, our daughters, my child, we are Muslim. We can't do this. It's our sons. The hadith is warning us. Before Judgment Day, a man won't be bothered. Another interesting hadith. Prior to Judgment Day, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, before Judgment Day, and this was a very interesting discussion. Not long ago, in Dubai, we were talking, just greeting non-Muslims in their stalls. Muslims saying, Assalamu Alaikum, non-Muslims, good morning, how are you? So we met a lot of Americans and had some lovely discussions with them. One happened to be a Christian Egyptian. So I got talking to him. So I'm telling him about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Bible and these prophecies. He says, no, it's not there. So I told him, okay, open your phone. Open this verse, that verse. And I read it for him from the verses. Hey, he was in shock. Then I'm telling him, do you know Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said 1400 years ago, you will see people who are Bedouin Arabs, who are not even used to wearing shoes, hufatan, quratan, you know, simple dressing, shepherds. But before Judgment Day, they will compete to have the tallest buildings in the world. يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ He's saying, what? Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that. Because they're seeing, that's where they are. They're seeing those tallest buildings in the world. And that just came up of recent times. Allah's Nabi said it. And then that Christian, Egyptian didn't know where to put his face. Because the ajib part is, the Muslim is Muslim, but he's so jahil of his deen. I'm trying to explain to the Christian. The Muslim guy is telling me, no, these Christians know everything. I'm telling him, please, brother, just listen. The Muslim is so jahil, but the Christian has such a false deen. But because he's attending the church, his brain is programmed to take every verse that's prophesying Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to go to fit Jesus. It doesn't fit Jesus, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But his brain is programmed. But now when you explain to him nicely, that's why there's a beautiful book, Maulana Sahab. I also teach it in Darul Uloom. I'd like you, if you can, share it with, you know, some of the students. You know, it's seven similarities between Isa alayhi salam and Muslims. You know, so it teaches our Muslims how to understand them, how to talk to them, how to converse with them. Allah give us tawfiq. Imagine Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said before Judgment Day, you will see the buildings around the Kaaba loftier than mountains. A'la min al-jibal. The buildings around the Kaaba are loftier than mountains. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you'll see, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ مَكَّةَ بُعِجَتْ كَضَائِمَةً. You'll see Mecca will have tunnels beneath them. Allah knows whether it's tunnels for water or whether it's tunnels where the cars traverse through. Both there are such availabilities of. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَانْتَظِرِ قَدْ أَضَلَّكَ فَإِنَّ السَّاعَةَ قَدْ أَضَلَّكَ. When this happens, judgment day has dawned upon you. But something else interesting, if you take another literal translation of as-sa'a qad adhallak, the clock, sa'a means judgment day, and sa'a also means the clock. When this happens, then the clock will be right above your head. And that also is another literal case. That's why some ahadith, if you translate it literally, is very, very interesting. Like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, before judgment day, تُعْزَفُ عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِهِمْ. Musical instruments will become very prevalent and common. But if you take the literal translation of the hadith, تُعْزَف, musical instruments will play on their heads. تُعْزَفْ عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِهِمْ. If you take it literally, it's very interesting because I greet everybody. Because after the discussion with this Jewish doctor, when we get to the airport, in that area we got to, quite a few Christians came to me and said, Sir, yes, brother, how can I help you? The book and the literature that you made available to the doctor, can we also have? I said, sure. So sometimes on a flight, you think you're speaking to someone, but the third and the fourth and the fifth person are listening very attentively. So you don't speak so loud that they know you're targeting them, but not too soft where they can't hear you. And this is why we beg you, the adhan. Don't leave out the adhan. Wherever you go in the world, you're making salah, make the adhan. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The adhan is an invitation to Islam. Don't feel shy. Call out the adhan. Every rock, every tree, every stone, every blade of grass will testify for you. You ended up somewhere with your family. You're staying in some chalet. You're putting up the braai stand. You're putting up that lakka biryani or akni. What you do, you put some nice biryani in that container. Your next door neighbor, Fanda Marva, was also staying in that chalet. Before you eat, you send your son. Better, you go deliver to that uncle. Oh, that man, he won't be able to resist the biryani. Oh, he's too happy. Hey, you shouldn't have. He's going to eat it. The next time you're going to see him, and the next time you're going to give him that literature, he's going to accept it happily. Then you're putting the braai. Make some extra sausages. When it's hot, hot, that nice steak, send it to them. Because we have a purpose that everyone must see the beauty of Islam. We have to unravel and unwind the incorrect narrative that the agenda of the forces of Batil is that they see Muslims and they must hate Islam. They see Muslims, they must think these are terrorists. And the way we act with our frowning faces, when we meet Allah's creation, they say, yeah, hey, these people are not approachable, man. The only thing they're worried about is money. The only thing they're worried about is themselves. You know, we have that mentality where we just keep it to ourselves. No, smile with them. Not with the ladies now, brother. That your wife will do. She must talk to the ladies nicely. You must tell her, mashallah, my wife, you donning the hijab. So beautiful, the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But greet Allah's creation. She must greet the ladies, you greet the men. You must tell her, it's a sign of Qiyamah, we don't want to greet. Back to this, just to culminate, Allah's beloved said, it'll be playing on their heads. Now I was telling you I greet everyone, because that's how I know. Some of them, you're greeting them, hello, good morning. That youngster can't hear, ain't hearing anything. He only sees his head going like this. But now if you look properly, you see what's happening in his ears. It's not intentional, he just now is. He's busy listening to his things over there. But when you greet him, he'll happily respond to you. But what's interesting is the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is so explicit. There's another hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Abdullah bin Mas'ud's report, Tuwasalul Atbaq. Tuwasal means there's a connection. So the world will be connected through Atbaq. Atbaq means dishes. So that could refer to the satellite where people are getting to know about each other and associating with each other through the dishes, if you take the literal translation. And then Tuqta'ul Arham. Family ties will not be considered. No one is worried about visiting family, visiting the elderly uncle, the aged parents, because everyone is busy with the satellite dish. And now, every pocket has it. Even more dangerous than satellite dish. You must see what those parents, how they're warning, even during a child's game on that tablet, what messages are portrayed in there to indoctrinate the mental state of that child with an agenda of all these incorrectisms and ideologies. But see, the interesting part is the hadith. There'll be tabak, a dish, where there'll be a link to wasal. Another interesting translation of the hadith is, tabak, dishes will be constant. 5 cores, 10 cores. That's also another possible meaning there. And also tabak, blocks, floors will be connected. So there'll be many, many floors to a building that wasn't common in the past. So Allah help us all. This hadith I was telling you about that we can finish off with just now. 1806. You have the hadith book in your house. I'd like you to take this kitab, Riyadu Salihin, see the English translation and read it to your family. It's a lengthy hadith. I'll give you the crux of it. And Mawlana will explain further and iftisab. Nawas bin Sim'an's hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when Dajjal comes, he will travel the world in 40 days, causing corruption right and left. So Sahaba said, that how will it be 40 days? The first day, how will he reach the world in 40 days? The first day will take 1 year to go by. Look at Sahaba's worry, but how will he perform our salah? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that you'll calculate the hours. Now interestingly, there's a recent research where they dug the core of the earth and they find that the earth is going slower. Slowly slowing down. And soon it comes to a complete halt. And thereafter, when it comes to a complete halt, and that's causing the change in the seasons, the weather, areas hotter, getting colder, hot getting hotter, areas that never got rain are getting snow. Arabia, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, before Judgment Day, the land of Arabia will become a green meadow once again. Those who went Umrah 10, 20 years ago will know exactly what's the reality. That was a desertous, dry land. Today, around Medina Manawara, it's green. The mountains are green. There was snow there not long ago. Exactly what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. So the first day will take a year to go by. The second day will pass. It'll take a month, mashallah. And then a week. And then the days will follow its normal procedure. They find that the earth is going slower and soon it'll come to a complete halt. But then the earth will start moving clockwise because the earth is now moving anti-clockwise, which is natural. Clockwise is unnatural. And when the earth moves clockwise, it'll take time to gain momentum. So scientists are saying, until the earth gains momentum, it will take an entire year to gain that speed. So the first day will take a year to go by, and then a month, and then a week, and then it'll... But then, because it's going clockwise, it would cause the sun to rise from the west. And Allah's beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said 1400 years ago, that's exactly what's going to happen when Dajjal comes. Then Dajjal will make everyone try and convince everyone that I am God. First he'll claim to be a prophet, the Messiah, because the Zionists didn't want to accept Hazrat Isa. He was the Messiah. So Dajjal will come claiming to be the Messiah. They didn't want Hazrat Isa because he told them to denounce the world. They want someone who will control the economy of the world. That's why they await Dajjal. And that's why Allah will send who to kill Dajjal? Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. But while he's here, he'll convince people that he is God. He'll even slit a man in two. The hadith of Sahih Muslim, the man is split, his body parts, and then Dajjal joins him. Then Dajjal says to the crowd, see, I am your God, I give life. This mu'min stands up and he says to the crowd, don't listen to him. He is the Dajjal. How you know? Our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. Look at the iman of this man. This is what we have to train our children for. To stand up for Allah. Speak out for Allah. Even if it's the tyrant ruler, whoever it is, talk out for Allah. Even if it is Dajjal, we know our Allah is one. You are the imposter. The hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Dajjal will cause, to convince a man, he'll cause two jinns to take the form of that man's parents. He sees two creatures that seem to be his parents. Who are you? We are your parents. Yeah, how's everything? No, we've come back to tell you that how is everything by you? No, we're suffering. The Dajjal is putting us through trouble. We're going to lose our faith. And he's the liar. The parents say, no, we've returned to tell you that he is God. How strong must the level of our iman be? Allah give us tawfiq. We have to worry about our iman, our children's iman. This is what the ijtima is about. How we can protect our iman. Little bit of inconvenience, little bit of dust, little bit of rain. Brother, this is going to help us when we go down there, in that qabr. Take your backpack. Another guy went for camping already. Same one, you got it packed up there. Take it out. Put it in your car. Tomorrow ijtima is starting. Every one of us should be there. Be there in that environment. Why? For our iman. The main purpose of it is our iman. Take our sons with us. Let's worry for the iman. Start talking about Allah to every Muslim as a reminder. To every non-Muslim as a duty. To every Muslim as a reminder. To every non-Muslim as a duty. You know why? Because Allah told us in the Quran. O my Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell them, قُلْ Chapter Surah Yusuf. Ye mera rasta hai. This is my way. I am an inviter to Allah. I invite every non-Muslim to Allah. Adu'u ila Allah. With wisdom and insight, I and every follower of mine does the same. Allah is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that every follower of mine invites to Allah. So I want you to ask yourself. You be your own judge. Am I inviting to Allah? But will we all try, inshallah? Allah gives. Even if you stop for petrol, stop at the garage, make the adhan, make your salah, greet people politely, talk to them nicely. Everybody has a heart. Are you with me? Talk to him. Tell him, life is short. Brother, you're going to die one day. I'm going to die one day. This life is an examination. Tell him, simple. Just, you'll say it. Give him the simple example. Tell him, brother, isn't when you're writing the exam in school? Yeah, I wrote exam. Tell him, when you leave that examination hall and you handed over the examination paper, now you're outside. Now you realize you didn't answer the back part of the paper. Question C. Now you come back and you ask the teacher, sir, I didn't realize there was a question paper there. Will you return my paper to me? You know those four students, they were coming for the exam from Trichardt. They were on their way to the university. And now they got late. The paper started at 7. They only reached there at 10. Now, yeah, you're right. Now the principal was very upset. You can't write the paper. They said, sir, we had a puncture. We almost got, you know, in trouble and this and that. The principal felt sorry for them. Normally, he'll never allow it. So he allowed them to write the paper because it was quite crucial to get to the next year. They had to write that paper. He put them all four in different classrooms. And for 10 marks of the exam, they had to answer the paper. And the next question was out of 90 marks. And what is that question? Which tire? Which tire? So Allah give us the fix. So you explain to the non-Muslim this also. That brother, if you're going to ask that examiner, sir, can I have that paper back? He's never going to give it. But you could repeat the year next year. When it comes to Akhirah, when we die and we leave this world, we can't come back to this world. Explain, open their minds, and you give them that literature. Let them think. We must do our duty. And then we make dua for them. You wake up for tahajjud. After first salah also, Ya Allah, I met that person. You give me diet, Ya Allah. It's not in my hands. Ya Allah, it's in your hands, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you give me diet, Ya Allah. Will we all try, inshallah? We make dua for the success of the ijtima, inshallah. And then also we continue not supporting the goods of the Zionists, and we try and improve, support Muslims, alhamdulillah. And also we try and, like we denouncing their goods, also denounce their lifestyle. Very, very important. Their way, their style is not ours. Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't be like the person who wants to go inside the hole of a gecko. The gecko is a big creature, and the hole is so small. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us, you don't fit there. That lifestyle stinks. Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's lifestyle is pure. Teach our daughters this. Their way stinks, my child. Our beloved's way is the best. You'll be happy. You'll be happier, my child. You tell your child lovingly. You tell your wife lovingly. You tell your daughter, your son lovingly. Because we have to save them. The last hadith I share with you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when Dajjal comes, the fitna will be so great that a man's wife and children all want to go by Dajjal, because those who went to Dajjal are living prosperous, happy lives. He comes home and he locks his home. His family still want to leave the home. He ties them up because they want to go there. Imagine how dangerous it is. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabi al-umayyi bi rahmatika ya rahmat. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله على نيته وسره اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا الله make the اجتماع success يا الله give all the brothers and all of us tawfiq to be part and parcel bless our sisters يا الله for their support and their fasting and their duas. Ya Allah, guide us and our children, Ya Allah. Give our youth also tawfiq to be part and parcel of this beautiful work of deen, the effort of iman. Ya Allah, wherever the ummah of our beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is suffering, wherever in the world, China, the Uyghurs, Argentina, Syria, Ya Allah, Turkey, Ya Allah, the earthquake there, help them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, India, Burma, throughout the globe, Ya Allah, Africa, especially our people in Gaza, Ya Allah. Make it easy for them, Ya Allah. Protect them, aid them, defend them from the unseen, Ya Allah. Keep them strong on Iman and Yaqeen, Ya Allah. Bless our mothers and children and our daughters, Ya Allah, who have no food, Ya Allah, for months and years there, Ya Allah. They're being bombarded night and day, Ya Allah. They're seeing their children shredded before their eyes. And all that comes out from their mouth is Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, Ya Allah. What Iman you have given them, Ya Allah. What love for you you have given them, Ya Allah. Keep them strong. Defend them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are the ummah of your beloved. What else we can put forth before thee, Ya Allah? And those are the children of your sahaba, Ya Allah. Help them, Ya Allah. Help them, Ya Allah. Preserve Masjid al-Aqsa. Preserve Haramain Sharifain, Ya Allah. Unite us as an ummah. Help us see good in each other. Help us value each other. Help us love each other. Save us from incorrect isms and ideologies and mentalities. And save us from haughtiness and pride and arrogance. Save us from looking down upon your creation. Give us tawfiq to make salam to each other, to respect each other, to see good in each other, to learn from each other, to motivate each other. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa sanadina wa habibina wa muta'ina wa maulana muhammadin wa barik wa sallim wa sallallahu ala الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.